So welcome to week number two of our year-long journey through the Gospel of Matthew. For those of you who weren't here last week, we have started a journey through the very first book in the New Testament. Last week we started with chapter 2. Today we're going to be in chapter 3. And I'll give you three guesses as to where we'll be next week, and the first two don't count. But that's next week. This morning we're in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, as Janine has already reminded us, is about Jesus' baptism. It's a glorious part of the life and ministry of Jesus. But before we read that part of the story, I want to put it in just a little bit of context. There's been like 20 or 25 years since the end of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew doesn't tell us anything about the formative years of Jesus growing up in Nazareth of Galilee. He just jumps right in to chapter 3, talking about this fiery guy who showed up on the banks of the Jordan River wearing really strange clothes and eating very weird food. We call him John the Baptist, and he preached a very persuasive message. Turn to God, he said. Get baptized and start doing things that will let other people know that you really are part of Abraham's family. And thousands of people flocked to John at the Jordan River. But he was very clear with them that somebody else who was much more important was on the way. I baptize you with water, John said, but when he gets here, he's going to baptize with the power of the Holy Spirit. That man turned out to be Jesus of Nazareth. And we're going to read together the story of his baptism. Before we do, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, you have set your word before us, and you have given us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts and minds that can understand. As we take another step along our journey in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, we pray, dear God, that you will open us up to the great word that you have proclaimed and the great things that you have done for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus, your Christ. We thank you in your precious name, Lord. Amen. So Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, but you are coming to me. But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it's proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. Years ago, there was a 90-year-old woman living in an apartment in central Paris, France. Her apartment had significant historical value, and real estate agents were just chomping at the bit, waiting for this woman to die so they could buy her apartment. One enterprising man in his mid-40s came up with an idea. He would make her an offer. He offered to pay her about $500 every month for the exclusive rights to buy her apartment once she died. What a great prospect for the future, he thought to himself. After all, how much longer can a 90-year-old woman possibly live? This is a true story. It was in a newspaper. 30 years later, that man passed away at age 77. The woman had just celebrated her 120th birthday. At the time, she was the oldest living person on record. She had one comment. Sometimes you make good deals, and sometimes you make bad deals. You know, if we could just see into the future, we could always make good deals. So what does 2019 hold in store? Well, for some of us, 2019 is going to be just like every other year. But for others of us, 2019 is going to be a year of what might have been. And still for others of us, 2019 is going to be a time of dramatic change and unexpected surprise. For all of us, however, 2019 could be a time of having the absolute certainty that you are a beloved child of God. Because Matthew's story of the baptism of Jesus contains an incredible promise that God has made available to all of us. You see, Jesus was one of those who thronged to John to be baptized in the Jordan River. John, at first, was very, very reluctant to do that. But Jesus explained that it needed to happen that way, so John baptized him. And when Jesus was coming up out of the water, the sky opened, the Holy Spirit descended out of heaven like a dove and landed on top of Jesus, and God proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son." Now, fast forward just a few decades, and the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to some churches in a region of the ancient world called Galatia. And in chapter 3 of that letter, Paul says, "When you are baptized into Christ, you clothe yourself with Christ." In other words, when we are baptized, we start to share everything that belongs to Jesus. And because Jesus received the power of the Holy Spirit in his baptism, we have the opportunity to receive that same kind of power in our baptism. And it is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus the Lord that gives us the confidence and certainty that we are beloved children of God. Now, the Bible makes it quite clear that the Holy Spirit manifests itself in all kinds of different ways, in all kinds of different people. But there are certain things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of every believer. In Ephesians chapter 1, for example, the Bible says that God marks believers with the seal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the pledge of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit tells us that we belong to God. The Holy Spirit assures us that we are saved and that we are a part of God's family. There's an old story about this young family that was sitting around a table at a restaurant trying to figure out what they wanted to order for supper. And the waitress came over and started writing down what mom and dad wanted to eat. And then she turned to their young son and asked, "What would you like?" "I want a hot dog," the little boy said. But mama jumped in and said, "No hot dog for you. He'll have the potatoes and beef, both vegetables, a hard roll, and a glass of milk." But the waitress wasn't listening. She said, "What do you want on your hot dog?" "Ketchup," the little boy said. "Want lots of ketchup." And then the waitress walked away and he turned to his stunned parents and he said, "You see, she thinks I'm real." The Holy Spirit gives us that kind of assurance. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit gives us the assurance that God knows we are real. God knows our wants. God knows our needs. And we can rest in confidence and certainty that we are beloved children of the Lord God Almighty. A second thing that the Holy Spirit does in the life of every believer is to teach believers the ways of God. When Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room on the night before he died, he told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would lead them into all truth. Can you imagine what it would be like to know the truth of God? To know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. Now, believe me, I understand there's all kinds of room for all kinds of misunderstandings and misinterpretations and just plain ignoring what God is telling us. It is, however, possible for us to know what God wants us to do. Because of the Holy Scripture and the presence and power of Christ's Holy Spirit with us, we can know the ways of God. A guy named Millard Fuller went to school down in Atlanta, Georgia, and by the time he was 29 years old, he was a millionaire. And his main goal in life at that time was to buy his wife everything he thought she could ever want. He came home from work one evening to discover that his wife had left him. So he went after her. He finally caught up with her at a hotel in New York City. And they talked together into the wee hours of the morning. And she started pouring her heart out to him. She told him that she cared absolutely nothing about anything his money could buy. Her heart was empty. Her spirit was burned out, and she felt dead on the inside. She wanted to live again. So they got out an old Gideon's Bible, and kneeling together beside the bed there in a hotel room in New York City, they asked for God's help. And the Holy Spirit told them exactly what they were supposed to do. And that night, Millard and Linda Fuller made a very radical decision. They decided that they were going to sell everything they had and dedicate the rest of their lives to serving the poor and working for the oppressed around the world. And that is the true story of how the organization Habitat for Humanity got started in the first place. It is possible through the presence and power of God's Holy Spirit to know what God wants us to do. God assures us through His Spirit that we are beloved members of the kingdom of heaven and that we can do what God needs us to do, and the same power and presence of that same Holy Spirit actually makes it possible for us to actually do the work of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. In the New Testament, There are all kinds of stories about things that early believers did in the power of the Holy Spirit. They received the ability to preach, and thousands of people heard and understood and believed the good news of Jesus Christ. They received the ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. They had the power to restore wholeness to people who life had broken. They received peace when the powers of evil persecuted and murdered them. They received the ability to become the kind of people God needed them to be. God gives us that same promise. And through the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, we can be the people God needs us to be. And all we have to do is keep our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds open to the opportunities God presents to us. Donald J. Shelby was the senior pastor at the Santa Monica United Methodist Church when he shared a story about something that happened to one of the members of his church just a couple days before Christmas. She had been working many, many long hours, and she didn't have anything ready for the holidays. And so she was out running around shopping when she just sort of happened to come upon this old woman who was standing on a street corner holding out a little paper cup asking for money. And so this member of the church looked down into her pocketbook, and all she had was a couple of $20 bills. And she really didn't want to give the old woman $20. So she started digging around in the bottom of her purse and found some change. And as she dropped the coins into the paper cup, a couple of them fell down on the sidewalk. And as she was bending over, she noticed that the old woman was wearing house slippers. It had been raining most of the day, and the wind was starting to pick up. And the old woman told her that she was starting to get cold, and her coat was wet. Well, this church member had just received a brand new coat, and she had been thinking about giving her old coat that she was wearing away. But the thought of taking off that coat right there on the street and handing it to this old woman was just too embarrassing. So she walked off. And she had made it just about to the next corner when it suddenly dawned on her what had just happened. She turned back around, but the woman was gone. She noted that street people usually hang around the same place most of the day, so she was very surprised that she had disappeared in less than a minute. So she walked back down the street and around the corner, but couldn't find the woman. And so she continued to walk a block in both directions, but she still couldn't find her. And she concluded her story with these words, "I believe it was Jesus in that old woman asking for my coat. And I came up with all sorts of excuses not to give it to her. Please, everyone," she concludes, "answer when the Holy Spirit calls. Follow Jesus when he comes in the needs of other human beings. I hope I get another chance, and I just pray that I will be able to say yes." Through the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ presents us with all kinds of opportunities to be the kind of people God needs us to be. One failure is certainly not the end of the line, but we should always keep our eyes ever open to all the ways God gives us a chance to do the work of the kingdom of heaven. Now, like I said last week, I have no idea what's going to happen in 2019. And I really don't have any interest at all in any arguments about how baptism has to be done or how much water has got to be used. What I am interested in is a life of hope and confidence and certainty. And because the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism and remained upon our Lord, we have the opportunity to be clothed with Christ and live each day with the assurance that we are beloved children of the Most High God. And I pray that you will let Jesus do that for you. Let us pray. Mighty God, through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, you are leading us and empowering us to be your people. Lord, as we move forward together as this part of your church, keep us open to the movement of the Holy Spirit among us so that we can see and hear and respond to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.